Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Monday, November 9th, 2020. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and even Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. Give it 5 stars. Let everybody know why you like it, because it makes me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far, like starting this podcast almost 8 years ago with only a few hundred listeners that I really appreciate, but there could be more. This is a quality podcast. I've had some really good guests. I've had some good conversations. Should be higher than it is. There's people that are borderline racist that make more money on their Patreon than I do. But who's counting? Who's counting? I'm not counting anybody's pockets. But when you just happen to see it comes up on your screen and you're like, wow. Do I need to pivot? I can't even pivot now. I can't even pivot to be a coon because it's not in style anymore. Because we have a new president. Congratulations to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Isn't that great? I'm happy. There were people dancing in the street. There were people going crazy. They were celebrating. I'm happy too. Like if you subscribe to the Patreon, you can listen to me find out in real time when Joe won. Joe and Kamala won. I'm happy, you know. The thing that I'm disheartened about, the thing that disheartens me is the fact that 70 million people voted for Trump still. And now, for some reason, Katy Perry is telling us to be nice to the people that voted for Trump. Why do they always want us to have decency to people that don't give a shit about us? And I just realized I may have noticed it, or I may have just eternal sunshine it out of my memory that the Trump Pence slogan was fuck your feelings. I don't know when, if that was this, did they started it with this, this run for this part of the race, the reelection, or what, but I didn't know that. And you constantly, oh, it's people, and it's all white. It's, for the most part, it's all white people telling us that, you know, hey, we should be nice to the people that voted for Trump still. I personally, I'm not going to go out of my way to be I try to be nice to everybody, but I'm not going out of my way for them. I'm not kissing nobody's ass because they're stupid and they believe in white supremacy. White supremacy is a hell of a drug. I was looking at that map, that electoral map, and I was like, damn. Wow. Just. It shouldn't surprise me, but it constantly does. Now I look at that map and I think, now all those people that voted for Trump, they are not in danger of being taxed more because they're making over 400 grand. So it's something else. And that's something else, I think, is the maintenance of their white supremacy. And if they're not white, they are trying to get there. And for some stupid reason, they don't know that they'll never get there because they'll always be what they are to what white people think they are and what that's in there. You know, it's, you know what I'm talking about. And I think this, and I think the people that listen to this show and the show of my friends that are super woke and super vigilant when it comes to a lot of this stuff, I think people that listen to this show, they know, you know where I stand. And I try to stand with people that I think are trying to better society, this country, society, and the world around them. And my hope, my concern is just that we don't take our foot off the gas in the next elections that we have. non-presidential elections, that you vote, for the people that are going to move us forward and not take us back, you know, that are going to move us in the right direction of having a better society for everybody. I don't know, you know, I'm not trying to be, excuse me, a hippie about this shit, but, you know, you want everybody to live right, to live well, as well as they can. The people that, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing, but really more people voted than ever. I think, I don't know, a lot of people, record-breaking numbers of people voted. And in that record-breaking number, it just, that 70 mil was like, ooh, wow. We have not learned anything. And I don't want to sound like a killjoy, but man. And again, who got us out of that? Black people. We had to save this country. We collectively saved this country from itself yet again. And when it comes time to give credit to people, when it comes time to give this credit, they don't want to give it to the black women that did this, like Stacey Abrams, who put her ego aside after she lost, and I'm making air quotes, you can't see me, that she lost that election, and she turned around and helped register 800,000 people to vote, and that helped turn Georgia blue. Did it turn? Yeah, it turned Georgia blue. It helped other people. You know, what's going to be interesting is to see what happens with her. Is she going to be a cabinet member? Is she better served or being another type of elected official? You know, so that's a beautiful thing. Then I see Eva Longoria get up early. And then people mad at Eva Longoria for like pulling a Gina Rodriguez. Don't y'all, the people don't, it's like people don't look at what happens, man. They don't look at their peers, what they do. Like, I don't get it. Like, all she had to say, like whoever was interviewing her, was she said, yeah, you know, the black women and felt blah, blah, blah. And she said, no, but the Latina, it's like, oh my God. Like, just say, yeah, they did it. And we got to, you know, we got to follow suit and we got to blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's it. That's all you had to do. But nah, they was mad at her. Then Kerry Washington came on and had to try to defend her. And people was like, man, I don't get why people are doing this, man. Why is Katy Perry telling me that I need to be nice, that we need to be nice to the people that voted for Trump? It's just because they saying that they know they could have family members that did that shit, that voted for him, that put. I don't know. It racism is just not a deal breaker for white people. I don't know how else to say it. Racism, not a deal breaker for white people when it comes to who's leading the country, when it comes to their own family, when it comes to their friends. Like some of my friends have black friends. I'm saying it like I ain't black, but I had to let some people go, just like kind of put in this pandemic. I had to just kind of fall back from certain people after I found out certain things about them, and like people that I, you know, people that have been on this podcast. It's just been like, I need to fall back from that. That's, I don't know about that shit. You know, because if you don't, you look like a fucking idiot. I don't want to be no coon. I don't want to be like, you look like an asshole to your peers, to your friends, people in your friend group. Like, you look, what's up with your boy? You let your boy saying this stuff. And you got to be, as a person of color, as a black person, you got to be accountable for what you, if for your white friends that says something out of pocket. And that sucks, man. That we always have to be the ones to make things right. We need somebody. It ain't but 13. What is it? Still like 13% of black people in the population. And I think the Latinos outnumber us now. Not that they're fucking outnumbers, but that's happening. we can't keep doing this, man. Every, I don't know. I think we got to come together, but not at the expense of kissing nobody's ass on the other side when they about that bullshit. The people that want to be about it, let's do it together. And they don't want us to be together, because when we come together, we become powerful like we were in June. And you'd think, man, you would think that after everything that happened this year, the George Floyd thing that galvanized a lot of people, that things would be a little different, that the election wouldn't be that close. But like I said before, white supremacy is a hell of a drug, and all that lip service and the tweets and all that bullshit, it was all that bullshit that these corporations was doing. It was bullshit. I don't know, man. I don't know. But I'm glad Joe and Kamala won. I was happy about that. But man, it's people like, you know, Jersey and New York. I'm glad that all my states, every state that I was involved in, with the exception of North Carolina, that I have ties to, voted blue. Like Maryland, Virginia, Illinois. What else? New York and New Jersey. Yeah, Carolina was the only state that didn't do right. But it's amazing, man. These people stood out in lines hours and hours trying to vote, and they did vote. And those are the people that, in those major cities like Detroit, that took it, man. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to see, and I hope we hold on to that. I hope everybody continues to remember that going forward, not just for the general election. I hope that we remember this shit, man. And I hope that we just try to be better to the people around us. I know it's hard because people, we're flawed. But for the most part, I hope we try. I hope we just try to keep pushing the ball forward, man. And it's not like this Sisyphean effort where we get to some point and then the ball rolls back down and we got to pick it up and all that shit, man. But overall, I'm happy. I was nervous, but I was nervous on Tuesday, but the next day after all that, I saw Biden, you know, coming through with it. It was, and them counting those ballots that were the mail-in ballots and the absentees and all that. I'm happy, and I'm glad that people were partying and the goofy shit that people were saying on Twitter, myself included. I got a couple jokes in during the speech. I was happy. It was good, man. It's like somebody that is two people that are qualified for the job, and I think that they really want to help, man. And God bless Joe Biden for being like almost 80 years old and doing what he, you know, doing this, man. Because it was the only way. Like the homie Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips says it all the time. A white man had to do it. It had to be a white man, you know, to get all those votes. And, you know, yeah. Still blown by that 70 million, though. All right, let's move on to something else. What's going on? I got YouTube on mute. And I'm watching. What is this clip? What is this video? This is like PlayStation 4 on PlayStation 5. Quick look. They have like some games that are on PS5. PS from the old generation to the new. And it looks good. I just got to, before I turn this thing on, the homie J.L. Covan sent me a TikTok video about saying goodbye to all the PlayStations, all the generations for the PS5 coming out this week. It was a dude in a tux, and he was handing out roses to each system, and he's waiting for the PS5. It was pretty funny. Like it was The Bachelor or something like that. I don't watch The Bachelor, but I think they give out roses at the end or some shit, right? I don't know. All right. Ask the homie Jared Freed. He's into all that shit. I'm gonna wait because I had to get a new phone, and I didn't know I got a new iPhone, so I'm gonna be like the rest of you lemmings. going to be my first one. Then probably got to get all like the accessories to it. So I'm falling back on the PS5. I'm going to probably get one, hopefully for my birthday in February. I just got a PS. You know, I've talked about this shit before. But I saw like on Friday, I saw the Spider-Man PS4, the Spider-Man Miles Morales reviews. It's getting good reviews, but it's not anything that I'm really that excited about. It's just me wanting to have this new system. And then I just saw a few minutes ago, IGN tweeted the 2021 PS5 game release windows. First half of 2021, Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, Gran Turismo 7, and Returnal, which looks dope. It's like this woman space, like astronaut that's stuck on some planet, and it looks dope as hell. That looks great. And then Horizon Forbidden West, the sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn, doesn't come out till the second half of 2021. And there's no release date in sight for God of War, the new God of War. So I think I'm good, man. I'm going to work on playing some of these other games. But I do have a little FOMO. I'm not going to lie to you. I got a little FOMO about that. So podcast is late today, this week, because yesterday I had to work on an audition. And I had to work on one for today that I just sent off before I powered up my Zoom H6. And, you know, so I had to get that done. And two good ones that would be dope to book. If I book these, if I booked it, it would be good money. One of them is just like a good couple days, good money. The other one is like, yo, some good shit. Like it would be really good. Excuse me. You would see me on screen for more than 3 seconds. So I don't know if you can hear this. I think, no, is that, that's music I'm playing. I don't know if that was my neighbor trying to be an asshole or just a car passing by, but either way, we're going to power through. I don't think this episode will be too long, but I wanted to give you a pod this week because I care. Excuse me. What the hell was that? Excuse me. Burp. Oh God. Okay. All right. So podcast episode 463, year 7, going on to year 8 of this show. Last week was eventful, obviously, because of the election. We lost Sean Connery a week before that, the weekend leading into the election. And we lost Alex Trebek. And obviously people are making those SNL comparisons. Alex Trebek was way more loved than Connery. God, like you see a lot of people's stories and those clips of when people are like, you know, doing these testimonials while he's standing there in front of them, those contestants, really sweet, very heartwarming. I like seeing those. And he seemed to be at peace, you know, he seemed to be at peace with, you know, he knew he had the terminal sickness, the cancer, and he just handled it with grace. I'd like to think that I would be able to do that, but I don't know. I'd probably be a fucking wreck. But he handled it like a G. He's going to be missed, and he left behind a great legacy. Like in show business, that's kind of all that you can hope for. Like that, I mean, that's the epitome of when you have to go out and you're in showbiz, you want to be well respected. You want people to love, you know, what you did and your contributions to the game. And hopefully you had a good family life and all that good stuff. So he will be missed. RIP to Alex Trebek. RIP to Sean Connery. My favorite Sean Connery movie. And I was happy to see that a lot of people, shared my sentiments, and I didn't think they would. A lot of people were mentioning Finding Forrester, which was one of my all-time favorite movies. I think that Finding Forrester, if it's not in the top five, at least if I had to sit down and think about it, I know off the rip it's in my top 10, possibly in my top five. If I really, really thought about it, it would probably be in my top five films, favorite films of all time. I remember I did this show with the homie Jeff Cerulli. I don't know if that made the cut when he put it out on his show on YouTube. I don't know if it's still on YouTube, but I did mention that that's my favorite, one of my all-time favorite movies. I tried to squeeze it in as like all-time favorite basketball movie, but the conversation was like my favorite basketball movies. But Finding Forrester, to me, it had everything. It had the class, a meditation on class, race, how the educational, like how schools use sports, you use the athletes and all that shit to get money that student athletes don't get to partake in. They're giving you an education, and you know, that whole old chestnut. I mean, hell, Hoop Dreams was that too, but that was a documentary, and you know, Finding Forrester was a, you know, dramatic narrative. But I love that movie, man. I know everybody says you're the man now, dog. I like when he's such a Connecticut warbler coming for your throat, JL. Coming for your fucking throat, bro. With my limited fake Sean Connery impression. You're the man now, dog. What's another one? Punch the Keys. That's the one I like the most. It's from them. Punch the Keys. And then he said, but maybe it's because you're black. What you say, man? What the fuck you say, man? I remember I did a scene in acting class, like TV film. Yeah, like on camera class in grad school. I did a scene from Finding Forrester. It was I love that fucking movie. I don't know. I was pleasantly surprised to see that a lot of people were bringing up Finding Forrester. You know, that Saturday when he passed. That's a great movie. Fucking love that movie. I have to watch that like once a year, at least once a year. And I was watching it over, I think it was a summer or a couple months ago. But yeah, man, RIP to those guys. Lost a coworker last week. Out of the blue, just threw me for a loop. A guy that I would see occasionally, like he worked in payroll, and he's one of the first people to come to one of my shows, one of my stand-up shows in Jersey. Guy that told me to live here where I live in Hackensack when I first moved here. He's like, yeah, man, I live in Hackensack. The office was in the city. And I was like, yeah, I'm trying to figure out where to live. And I was like thinking some people say Queens. He was like, move to Hackensack. I live in Hackensack. You just hop on the bus and it takes you right there. It takes you right to the, you know, Penn Station, wherever it took me. And he was right. He said, you take the bus in, you just hop on the train, you're at the office. And I did that, man. He was right. And then I did that. And then maybe a few months later, he moved out. And I used to always like kid him about that. I said, man, you told me to move to Hackensack and you left. And yeah, man, it's a cool dude. Really pleasant. You know, man, this life is fucking fragile, man. So that was a bummer. You know, that kind of threw a damper on the week. And yeah, man, and then what else, guys? What else? No, I know what to talk about. Hey, you can catch me on The Undoing on HBO. I was on episode 3. It's a blink and you'll miss me part. The Undoing is a show on HBO starring Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant. And I played a court officer. I shot that day in Queens at the Kaufman Studios for it was a while. It was like an all day shoot. And I just, you can hear me say, all rise, blah, 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 blah. And you can see me for like a couple seconds. But it's money nonetheless. And when it came, nonetheless, money nonetheless. Check. I got paid. That money was spent over a year ago. The coolest shit when Janelle James was on here. I had to give her props for this. When she said, when you see one of your friends on TV, just know that they already spent that check 6 months ago or more. I think it was supposed to come out in May, because I think I was teasing it earlier this year because I thought it was going to come out like March or May or something like that. But it got pushed back because of COVID and everything. But it's out there. Episode 3. It's a good show. It's like good to be a part of it. That audition was, I think I had auditioned for an episode of Bull on CBS, and it was a bailiff, but it was like, it wasn't like all rise. It was just like some behind the scenes stuff that was kind of fun. And then this, I was like, ah, another bailiff. I'm like, oh, I'm just saying is, and I remember being in my manager's office and I had taped two things. And it was like the second thing that I taped. And it was just like, I just said, all right. And I just memorized it kind of like on the spot, like, and did it and sent it. And they were like, Chris, you're on hold for this. And Chris, you booked it. I was like, oh, wow. Awesome. I'll be on an HBO show and be on TV for a couple seconds. So it was cool. It was cool to be, you know, be on something that's a prestige show, whether it be for a prestige show on HBO for a couple seconds. Really fucking cool. I haven't had anybody say, well, I couldn't see you, but you can hear me. If you know my voice, you can hear me. I'm the, and I'm in the credits. So, you know, I'm there. Yeah. So hopefully there's more to come. Hopefully COVID, we got that vaccine, young, that vaccine that's 90% effective from Pfizer. Hopefully that's legit, a thing that actually works and helps people, we get it to people that need it, and hopefully that's something that gets things back to, like I've said for the whole year, some form of normalcy to where more people can work and you can't get your parents sick and you can hug and kiss your parental units and your family, your friends, and get to hang out and do stuff like we do in fucking America. It's something somebody said. I don't remember who said this. It might have been Justin Williams. I'm attributing it to somebody. I don't know who said it, but quite a few people probably have said something similar. It's like, we want the rewards of doing what we're supposed to do by masking up and doing social distancing, doing all the things you need to do to best combat the virus. We're doing all this stuff, but we haven't. We're doing the things that people who did that. Ah, shit. How do I say it? You guys are probably rolling your eyes. We want the rewards of following standard operating procedure, but we haven't done it, you know, and we're behaving like we already did it. So like we're, you know, like partying, going out, being in like big groups and stuff like that. It's just backwards, man. So I hope that most of us, and still, I still say some of these places that I go, but really I'm just going to do laundry. I go to work, go to the store to buy stuff. Get, you know, that's all I've really been doing. And it's kind of like, it's kind of just like, you know, it's like, man, you just been doing that. So I see people wearing masks all the time. And like, you know, I'm hoping that things, you know, saying the shit that I've been saying the whole year, I hope things work out. And this vaccine is hopefully a bright spot that gets even brighter. How about that? I want to give you a couple of movie recommendations, and I'll tell you what I'm watching on TV. I'm watching season 3 of Killing Eve. I'm a little late to the party. I watched season 2, you know, last year, whenever it was. And then season 3 came and I had them banked on my DVR. And I happened to be watching, SNL. How about SNL? How about Dave Chappelle? What a monologue. Jesus Christ. How great is that guy? You know? Man. One of the greats. I mean, what else can you say? You know? The balls on that guy. To say the N-word like that. Oh, God. You know, he's one of the greats. So I was watching SNL. I'm just so washed that I watched a movie that I'm going to talk about. I think I got done watching that at like, God, did I watch that after Biden's speech? I don't remember. I know I watched the speech. I don't know. But after Biden's speech, I think I went to sleep and woke up. And it was delayed. Everything was delayed because of the Notre Dame Clemson game where the fans rushed the field. And I don't think anybody was wearing a mask. And kids were in the stadium, which was not good. And Clemson already had their star quarterback not playing because he had COVID. We should be playing football, and the kids should be there. Oh, man. So it got delayed, and I watched. So I pretty much had everything that I taped for SNL. I DVR'd all the time. And I think I was only missing maybe one sketch. So I saw everything. And I was like, Killing Eve's on. Killing Eve's on Hulu. So I watched it with no commercials, and I'm maybe 6 episodes in. Six out of the eight that I've watched, I think. And it's good. It's a good show if you haven't seen it before. This guy's, whoever's doing this vid, who made this video, playing Last of Us on PS5. And I talked a little bit about that on Patreon, so I'm not gonna rehash it, but this is new. This is different. So it's good. I recommend that show. If you have not seen it, start from the beginning. Start from season 1, episode 1, and check that out. That's the only new TV I watch. I tried to start watching Space Force on Netflix. I know people were talking shit about it, that they didn't care for it, but it's okay so far. I can't get past the first episode. It's just because I was being scatterbrained and I was thinking about other stuff and I wasn't paying attention. So I'm going to have to start that from the beginning again. I like everybody that's in it. All the actors in it, I really like. Let's do some movies. And, I'm watching Fargo. Season 4. I'm liking it. I like it. It's good. Chris Rock is holding it down. He's serious. So funny. He might have been on The Daily Show, and he was talking about, like, yeah, you know, I love doing stand up, and I love acting. This is a part. This is a great part for me. And he said, but Don Cheadle could have did it. I love the self awareness that people like in show business that like Chris Rock like have. That he's just like, yeah, but Don Cheadle could have did it, you know, and he could have. I like it. A lot of Chicago actors in it. One in particular, James Vincent Meredith, friend of the podcast, got the Mundane Festival bump, and he's like Chris Rock's like right hand man in this fucking show. And I'm like, yes. Let me make sure. I want to tell you the character he is. James Vincent Meredith. I kind of didn't know I was going to talk about this. Okay. The notorious JVM. He is, because they filmed it. He plays Opal Rackley, the black guy that's always with that's always with Chris Rock. That's always with Loy Cannon, Chris Rock's character. He's great. Great stage actor. Go back to that episode. You know, we talked about his role in Widows. Some other Chicago actors. I'm trying to think. I remember seeing, I can tell some, because they cast, I'm sure they cast out of the Midwest, and in particular, I think they filmed this, most of this in Chicago. A lot of the actors are Chicago actors, and they're stage actors, and they're fucking beasts. I want to try to find season 4. Let me see if I can just, I'm on IMDb. I'm trying to find this, one of the women, the lady killers. Because I remember seeing her in a play. I'm going to get her name. I'm going to say her name. I'm going to say this black woman's name. Because I hope I can find it. Lord have mercy after I done put all this. Oh, Lord. Come on. I clicked on this. Come on. This is the perfect time. Okay, Karen Aldridge, who plays... She plays Zelmer Roulette. The black lesbian that's the killer. She plays her. And she's... I remember seeing her... God, like maybe... God, I want to say, what play was I working on? I think I might have still been, it might have been 2000. It might have been before I graduated, got out of grad school. Early 2000s, saw her in this Susan Laurie Parks play called Fucking A in Evanston, Illinois, which is like right where Northwestern is. She was a fucking beast. And I remember when I saw her, I was like, that's the lady from Fucking A, from, you know, Chicago. It's like these people, thankfully she's got a meaty role in this show, but like you can see, like I, you know, when I talk to some of my actor friends, especially from Chicago, it's like you see these people that have one or two lines in a show, like a TV show, and it's like they're fucking monsters. Like the talent in Chicago is amazing. So yeah, Karen Aldridge, James Vincent Meredith, lot of good actors in that show. Really good. And I would recommend, at one point it was on Netflix. I don't think it is now, unless you get, I only know one person that gets the discs from Netflix, a coworker, but there's a show that, Fonte put me on called Gomorrah, which is an Italian gangster show. And the guy, one of the heavies this season in Fargo, he plays the brother. He is in, I think his name is Salvatore Esposito. He plays Gaetano Fada. He's one of the leads in Gomorrah. And he's also in Fargo, and he's killing it. He's, you know, whatever. It's good. And I have a crush on Jesse Buckley. Okay. So let's do some movies and let's get out of here. I will save my favorite of the bunch for last. So the first movie I saw over the, I think it was like Friday, this movie called Time. It's a documentary that's on Amazon Prime. I'll read you the Google blurb. Entrepreneur Fox Rich spends the last two decades campaigning for the release of her husband, Rob G. Rich, who is serving a 60-year prison sentence for a robbery they both committed in the early 1990s in a moment of desperation. This movie is good. I kind of side-eyed some stuff in this movie, but overall it's a movie of like perseverance and getting through tough times, and you know there's gold in watching black people get through tough shit, because that's what we do, and that's why it's 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is good. I side-eyed some shit. It's not as bad as... I'm not going to say it. Because I can't think of the movie right now, and I don't want to mess it up, and I don't want to take you down a rabbit hole that you don't need. It's like with those movies that kind of exploit black pain. I don't think this is it, because the subject, Fox Rich, chose to, you know, go along with this, and her husband did as well. But it is about a couple that robbed a bank, and it just isn't a moment of difference. It just seemed kind of like, well, you guys kind of did a bad thing. You did a fucked up thing. And then she raised like 5-6 kids. And there's one character that's in the, there's one subject that's in the film that's like, I'm just going to say it. The grandmother in the film is like basically how I felt the whole time. Because when the grandmother's there, she's like, you guys kind of, you did some bad shit. Now, I don't know that this guy needed to be in jail for 60 years for robbing a bank. But at the same, because, and then, you know, it's just like you think about the prison system and how they separate black families. And it's all this stuff is layered and embedded in this film that you can just bring, you bring your baggage as a black person to this movie, and you're immediately with these people. And you're immediately with people. I'm not, because, you know, you people do things that are wrong. But I just wanted this. There's kind of some things that I wanted to see behind that, like the motivation behind why they robbed the. I don't think it was a bank robbery. I think it was a big. Okay. Why they did the robbery. It just seemed kind of like, and it, because the movie's only, it's only an hour and 21 minutes. And it's what the movie didn't show. And it's kind of like, just when you see Fox's mother and the stuff that she says, it's just kind of like, what? It just kind of like made me feel, it was like, okay. I kind of feel like your mom does about a lot of this shit. Like you risked a lot of stuff, and you endangered your kid's life. You low key ruined their life, but then there's all these achievements in spite of. So like, I mean, that's, like I said, this is just one aspect of the black experience. One that, you kind of see a lot. And at the same time, it's triumphant, but it's like, is this old hat? I don't know. I did like it. It's an interesting film. There's some parts where I don't think they needed a lot of the musical cues that they used. The score, I don't think they needed it, because some of the stuff, there's times where it could have been taken out. And I think a lot of the stuff that was going on was compelling enough. Definitely worth checking out. It's only, like I said, only an hour and 21 minutes. It's definitely worth seeing. And if you do see this movie, I'd love for you to tweet at me or email me to see what you think about it. I think it's definitely an interesting film. I put some of the, like, the Q&As and the interviews on my YouTube watch later list. So I'm going to check out some of the stuff. It was directed by this woman, Garrett Bradley. And it's possible that this gets nominated for some stuff. It's award season is coming up. Next movie is Bad Hair. Bad Hair came out a couple weeks ago on Hulu, and this is director Justin Simien's second film, I believe. He gave us Dear White People a few years back. This is his second one. I'll read you the blurb. Terror strikes when a woman's new hair weave seems to take on a life of its own. This stars Elle Lorraine, Kelly Rowland, Vanessa Williams, Lena Waithe is also in it, Jay Farrow. Good black cast. Usher's in it. What is this on? What's the Rotten Tomatoes score on here? 62%. Okay. I've listened to a couple reviews. I've seen people, you know, watch some videos where people talked about it. I think some of the critics were a little, might have been a little too hard on it. I mean, I know people didn't, this wasn't a lot of people's favorites. Read a few reviews, people that I respect and whatnot. They kind of, some trashed it. I thought it was okay. I thought I was enjoying it. I thought it was entertaining. Definitely the first half of the movie was entertaining. I felt like this might have been, I don't think they, I'm trying to think, could they have cut something? This clocks in at almost 2 hours. And sometimes horror movies are better when it's a little leaner. When maybe hour 30, hour 45. How long was Scream? Let's see if I'm right. I did like Scream. Scream in 1996. Kind of like this hour and 51. Okay. How about Get Out? How long was Get Out? Get Out. Hour 44. Yeah. See, that's about right. It's like you get right to the point. I thought it was funny. I thought like, and there was a, who was talking about this? Aisha Harris on her show on NPR, she had a guest on, they were talking about it. One thing that I really agreed with them that was great is that this is a really good workplace story. Like a good like critique of the workplace about how you dress, how you wear your hair, being a black woman in corporate America in the 90s and like, no, 1989 actually. Late 80s, early 90s. Really good. You know, they were even saying that, I'm just kind of like, I agree with them. They were saying that this really worked well as a workplace film. The horror, I'm not too freaked out a lot about with horror movies, but you know, I thought it was interesting. One of the things I didn't like, I was kind of like, there's a little too much death. Some people that I didn't think should have gotten killed, got killed because they weren't bad people, but they were just like hazards. But that happens in horror movies. You know, people that you don't want to die, they die. But I was like, some people probably didn't need to die in this joint, but a couple people, they're just kind of around. I think one character, no, I don't know. Yeah. I think it's worth your time. I liked how it was shot. I think it was shot on film. But I did. I enjoyed it. I think after Get Out came out, I think people kind of treated horror movies. Maybe people were a little more critical of horror films, but a lot of times horror movies to me are a lot like. I think they're a little more disposable than some of your superhero movies. How about that? I mean, coming from a person like me who likes a lot of different genres, but I'm a little more pretentious when it comes to like your art house cinema. I don't know if I'm really that pretentious. I don't know. Like I'm like really into these art house films. So like The Last Black Man in San Francisco is, to me, is high art. But Black Christmas is like, okay, I'm watching this movie. And it was kind of, that was like the wokest horror movie I've ever seen, though. Wolf of Snow Hollow was good. It was fun. It didn't take itself too seriously. Some of these movies, some of these Blumhouse, like I talked about, I didn't talk about the Blumhouse movies on the main feed, but I will say that like some of those were just kind of disposable, you know, like it's good to see people of color and in these films that are just like, okay, there's not, how do I want to say it? It was good to see people of color in that type of genre, in the horror sci-fi genre, just like Misha Gray was talking about when we did the roundtable for Lovecraft. Like I mentioned that Misha Gray was like, I want to see black people in like a Goonies thing or like an Indiana Jones or a Stand By Me type thing. She wanted to see us in these types of films. So, and kind of let, even though Lovecraft is more prestige and it's more weight to it and it's, you know, big budget, I think sometimes it's okay for some of these black movies and black horror to be kind of light. You know, I think a good example would be, what's the movie that my man Vlad Caamaño was in? What was he in? Oh my God, I didn't know I was going to talk about this. So just bear with me for a second and I'll get you guys out here. I'm going to finish this and then Vampires versus the Bronx. Like that was a fun movie. Like how it reminded me of, oh my God. Now Attack the Block, thankfully. Sci-fi, fun, nothing too super heavy. I thought Bad Hair was like that. And how long was Attack the Block? Making this pod longer than I thought it would be. Attack the Block 2011. How long was that? Hour 28. See? Hour and a half. Yeah, that was just kind of like fun. Not too heavy. I liked it. Bad Hair, I would say give it a shot. Give it a chance. See what you think. And I was kind of, I had a little bit of an aversion to it because people were kind of like, oh, I don't know. It's just that people were talking about it on Twitter. I was like, oh, really? Y'all going hard? And then just one day, I was like, let me just see for myself. And it was fun. It was fun. It was real fun, man. Funny, too. You know. All right. So the last movie I want to talk about is a movie that I was pretty excited to see. I found out it was available to on VOD. This movie called Possessor, and it's the uncut version. And it's written and directed by Brandon Cronenberg. This movie is okay. Tayshia Voss, an elite corporate assassin, takes control of other people's bodies using brain implant technology to execute high profile targets. So basically this woman is an assassin for a secret corporate organization. They hook her up to this, I guess it's kind of like Assassin's Creed, basically. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, nerds who play that game. I've never really played one, but from what I understand, you get hooked up to this thing and then you can get into the mind of this person, of a person that you use to assassinate somebody, like a high profile target, like it said in the blurb. So this woman is this highly skilled assassin. First time you see her, well, do I want to? She's this assassin that's good at her job. And it gets to the point where the things that she's doing while she's on her job does not fit protocol. Because she's doing things wrong. She's not doing things the right way. And her hand. And There's one job that doesn't go as expected. That's all that I'm going to say. This is one of the best movies I've seen this year. It stars Andrea Riceboro and Christopher Abbott. Andrea Riceboro, what has she been in? I like her when I see her and stuff. She was in Oblivion, Mandy, The Grudge, Battle of the Sexes. It's been in a lot of stuff. Really, she's dope. Christopher Abbott recently in Black Bear. I talked about that on the, I think I might have talked about that on Patreon. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe a couple weeks ago I talked about it. Maybe. I don't know. But I did. He's a really talented actor that's like, every time I see this dude in something, whenever I see that he's in a film, I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. He's just kind of becoming one of those guys that I'm like, all right, like he's the, he's almost, he's like the male version of Anya Taylor-Joy, who is in the Queen's Gambit. Like if she's in something, I'm checking for it. And he's one of those actors, like he's American, and it's like, all right, let's, I rock with this dude. It's really good. I think I saw a trailer a few months ago and I was like, oh man, I want to see this, but it wasn't out yet. And then I think the homie, John from About to Review Pod had seen it and he said, yeah, it's coming out later on. You know, he had tweeted or wrote something about it. And yeah, so I am excited to see. I want to get this on. I don't either get it on Blu-ray or just get it with the special features. But I do really like this movie, and you can rent it. I think I rented. I rented it on like Google Play or something. But you can rent. You can. It's on VOD. But I highly recommend it. It's like $5. And it is. It is now this. Now, see, the thing about this, this isn't necessarily horror, but it is violent, and it's kind of like, oh, my God, I can't believe they fucking... So, it's got that aspect to it. And I don't know. I feel like I'm getting old. I don't know if anybody, like, if anybody else does this, like, you're in your late 30s or early 40s, using subtitles. There's part of me that wants to say, part of me says I'm getting old, or I'm kind of getting hard of hearing. I got to understand what these actors are saying. I better understand what's going on in this movie. The other part of me is just like, hey, maybe the sound isn't good. That's kind of in denial. It's like, maybe the sound's not that good in this, or maybe these actors are kind of just like whispering their lines or whatever. I don't know what's going on, but I can't fucking hear it, so I got to turn on the subtitles. But then at the same time, I play video games, and when I'm playing like a story-based game, I have the subtitles on, and I don't have a problem. Like I play The Last of Us Part 2 or any of these other games, I'm definitely, I have subtitles, but the subtitles aren't super big or anything either. And at the same time, I also have headphones on when I play video games, because I don't like, if I'm shooting up something, I don't want my neighbors to hear that shit, because I'm considerate. Not like my neighbors below me. Not like that. All right, so I highly recommend Possessor. I don't want to say too much about it. I just want to say that I really dug it. It's good. It's about an assassin that inhabits people's brains and their consciousness. And shit gets fucked up when she goes to one person and she's got to take out a client. And it don't go right. And that's where all the fun is, isn't it, guys? So, that's the end of the show. I gave you 58 minutes. Look at me lying to you, telling you that this is going to be short. So I'm just going to say a couple things and just, you know, leave you with your week. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't. I delivered. I gave you almost an hour of this and you didn't pay for it. So fuck off. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I appreciate you. Subscribe to Patreon. Watch The Undoing. Buy, stream, Failed Running Back, still in store, still available, was number one when it debuted. Good jokes on there. Comedy. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you all. Talk to you next time.